Okay, that was free. All right, we're in chapter 12, praise and worship. We're going to get through this chapter tonight. Okay. Yep, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Praise and worship is very powerful. And have you ever noticed we do it in every service? Okay, I wasn't sure if you noticed. Just wanted to make sure that you were on task with this. We do it for a reason. And we want to explain that to you tonight so that you understand praise and worship. Now, what's interesting about praise and worship is that most people don't. You know what's really funny is up till about 5 years ago, when praise and worship would begin, there would be 100 men out in the foyer. They'd stay out there until the end of praise and worship. The moment praise and worship was over, all the men would come into the church. All at the same time. It's really funny because I don't know what it is about men. Men are intimidated about praising and worshiping God. They're intimidated about showing their emotions to God. And tonight, gentlemen, I just want to really speak to you about learning how to step into praise and worship. And we're going to break this all down so you have a full understanding of exactly what it is and why we do it. Number one principle is that praise and worship is a lifestyle. It's not something we do on a Sunday morning. Now, a lot of men can't sing. Amen. No, see, that was a great answer. You're not that bad, which means you suck. That was just a very nice way of saying it. So, sorry. It's important to recognize that it really doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. This is a lifestyle that you need to have integrated into every part of who you are in your relationship with Jesus. This is a major part of your relationship with Jesus, not a small part. This is a major part of your relationship with the Lord. So what's happened is, if the enemy or your flesh can keep you from learning praise and worship, then you're not going to step into the presence of God in the greatest level that he has for you. You know, there's nothing worse than having 1 foot, listen now, it's 110 degrees, the sun is beaten down and hot, it is a little bit muggy, you've worked 8 hours, you're tired, and there is a pool. So you get into your bathing suit, and man, you can just, you know the moment you hit that, it's going to be good, but this is what you do. And you stand there for 35 minutes with your toe in the water. That's all you do. How refreshed are you? Your toe is refreshed. But you're not, and that's the issue with praise and worship in a church. When we don't know how to flow in praise and worship, when we don't step into praise and worship, when we don't work on the art of praise and worship and create it as a lifestyle, then you're just running around with your toe sticking in the water. But God didn't call you to stick your toe in the water. He said, actually, in the major prophets, he starts describing the flow of the Holy Spirit as ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then swimming in the presence of the Lord. And so God doesn't want you to be ankle deep. He wants you to swim in the presence of God. He wants you to be completely submerged in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's in the anointing. Everything you need is manifested and taken care of. So the more you learn how to praise and worship, the more you learn how to generate the anointing. The more you generate the anointing, the more power that's generated, all your needs are taken care of. So it plays a major part in your life. That's why it is a lifestyle. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So a part of praise and worship is that surrender. Now, there are 7 Hebrew words to praise and worship. The first one is yada. Everybody say yada. Yada. Yada is, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise, Psalms 100. So entering into the presence of the Lord is a first, a decision. I want to enter into the presence of God. I want a yada. The second is tauda, T-O-W-D-A-H. Tauda means that now I am going to surrender. I give myself a holy sacrifice unto God. So I lift up my hands without wrath or malice. I'm surrendering. And so the first part is, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. The second is, I will surrender at the altar of God. I will give a sacrifice of praise, which not sacrifice is never something that's left over. The true sacrifice is the best. I want to remind you of that. The children of Israel, when they were to give a sacrifice, it was nothing that was just there. It was the best sacrifice. So it's yada, tauda. Then the next one is Shabbat. Everybody say Shabbat. Shabbat is, I will shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. That is when you start to shout. That is when, man, the power of God is starting to move in you, because when you start to surrender, all of a sudden the anointing starts to increase. And then you're going to Shabbat. And that is, you're going to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You got to let it release from your spirit. There are many of us who play timid, but the Bible says the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So you can get into the house of the Lord. You know what's really funny about, and you know, I'm just going to say this. You know, our church, because of our region, is mainly Caucasian. We are, thank God, we have 20 nations in the house. But the fact is that I very much enjoy African-American and Latino churches. Why? Because they're not quiet. White churches, many times, are very quiet. We are very reserved. We don't want to show outwardly what we're feeling inwardly. We had a lady who was from Africa one year, and she was the wife of a doctor in our region. And she, now listen now, when you're from Africa, let's just say Nigeria especially, it's very much a Christian environment, very much a Christianized country, to where they're in church. It's not like you have choice. You're in the house of God. The power of God is flowing. I mean, the largest church in the world is right there in Nigeria with, I believe his name is Adeboye's church, which is 1 million people. And then you have Adeboye's church, and then you have, let's go through all those names. It doesn't matter. But what the point is that the presence of God and the expectation of you in the anointing is very much expected. But what this lady, she just loved the Lord so much, and this was her culture. She came here, she would always stand in the front of the altar and just worship the Lord. So, of course, she's facing this way. The presence of the Lord is there. And all of a sudden, here, woo! She starts to shout, woo! And you look at all the white people with fear in their eyes. And all of a sudden, she'd fall face first on the ground. And she just, la 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 la. And she was just, man, this was normal in her country. But she's in Horse of Heads, New York, and there's a bunch of white folks staring and wondering, is she okay? Is what's going on here? And fear has come upon them. It's really funny because we have learned in our community, in our culture, that we don't share things. You know, it's really funny, and if you just ever want to have fun, go to a Baptist church and just start shouting hallelujah in the middle of praise and worship. I really just want you to do that. No, really. If you do that, let me know. You won't make it. They're going to kick you out. But it's really funny. You know, if you really want to try it, go ahead. I don't mind. but what's interesting is that when people start to shout, man, it releases you. Because there's a timidity that many times we harness ourselves with. We don't want people to, we have a hard time expressing ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with shouting. You all know Pastor Andrea. Her husband is Prophet Ogunwumi. Prophet Ogunwumi, he passed away a few years ago. I believe it's been 5 years now. Great friend of mine. But he also was from Nigeria. And he was a man that, You know, when he starts telling his testimony, let me tell you, in the middle of praise and worship, he was not quiet. And again, when he would start move in tongues with the interpretation of tongues or in prophecy, all these poor white people are just staring with fear in their eyes. They're not sure how to handle this. But what was interesting is when you start recognizing where he came out of, he was in two concentration camps. One concentration camp, they took their whole family and they put them in this concentration camp in Liberia. And what they would do each night is they would go by, and there were different little houses. They weren't houses like we have, like little shanties and shacks with the whole family in these shanties and shacks. They would go, and they would go to the next one each night. And when they would go to that shanty, they would take all the men out. They would take one of the men out, and they would butcher him in front of their family with a machete, and they would take their arms off, their legs off, and then decapitate them right in front of their families. And then they would take all the women, and they would rape them right in front of the rest of the family. So he's in this concentration camp, and they know their house, their little shanty's the next one. So their father, who is a great man of the Spirit, Opa, and he just passed away about 2 years ago, they started fasting and praying. And that night when they came to their hut, the first man and the second man got in an argument. And when they got in an argument, it was really nasty, heated argument. They got so flustered, they went to the next one and skipped theirs. In fact, one of the brothers was in the United States. He works at Corning Incorporated. He was actually, for 11 years, thought his entire family had been eliminated. Well, this man had a reason to shout. This man had a reason to make a declaration that God is good all the time, and he was unabashed and unashamed. There's a time that you got to break free of yourself and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Some of you have been so just held down that it's time to shout. It's time to let God know, oh, man, you are good. You are awesome. Man, some of you shouted so loud in the bars, and man, you are crazy at the baseball game and the football game, but you get to the house of the Lord and it's... Mackenzie said, let's all raise our hands, and you're going, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to raise my hands. You can't make me raise my hand. But man, when you were in the bar, you were, party! You come to the house of God and you're all quiet. You see, there's a time to shout, Shabbat. And then you have what's called Zamar. Zamar is, I've done all I can do in the natural. Somebody strike the band. What's interesting is we always wait for the band to start playing before we start to praise and worship. But you should already have Yada, Tauda. You should already have Shabbat before you ever come to the Zamar. Zamar is, I've done everything I can do in the flesh. Someone strike the band. I need some help. So before you ever come, see, this is what we're talking about, lifestyle. Man, the one thing you'll find about my family, even with me, if you know anything about me at all, when I'm walking through these halls, I'm always singing in the Spirit. I'm singing out loud. Today I just made up a song. You know what I'm talking about, honey, because you're always here. You know, I'm just always walking the halls, and I'm always singing. And I don't really care. People make fun of me. I could care less. That don't matter to me. I've got over that a long time ago. In my home, my kids, I remember one time, because I always sing in the shower, and I'm singing praise and worship to Jesus in the shower, and one time they recorded me to make fun of me. It don't matter. You can make fun of me all you want. I'm going to sing in the shower. Why? Because I learned that this is a lifestyle that will bring in the presence of the Lord in my life. And I want that. I want more of the presence of Jesus. So you've got to learn how to praise and worship. You've got to learn how to take your flesh and bring it into subjection. So Yauda, Tauda, Shabbat, Zamar. And then the next one is... I lost it. Yeah, I think it is Tehillai. Tehillai is, no, that's not it. Halal, thank you very much. You're awesome. The next one is halal, H-A-H-A-L-A-H. Halal, no, H-A, yeah, whatever, however you spell, halal. Which means this, I'm going to foolishly and clamorously praise him. So now you've hit the Zamar. Now you're going to foolishly and clamorously, you're just going to shout unto God. You're going to spin. You're going to dance. Spin and dance? Some of you, man, you danced, man, when you were in the world. You just loved dancing, man. You'd get so drunk, you would dance all over the place. And everybody called you fool, but you didn't care because you were drunk. And you were just dancing, and you were smiling all over. You were happy all over the place. And you know, that's the halal, clamorously and foolishly praising him. You know what's amazing is God says he clamorously and foolishly praises over you. The Bible says in the Minor Prophet that he spins and dances over his children. God spins and dances over you. When he thinks about you, he gets so happy. Brother, I saw your video on Facebook, your dancing capabilities, and I was so blessed. I just want you to know that, Chuck. It was Derek. Go, Derek. Come on, Derek. So here we have one of the next ones is the very last one, which is Tehillai, which is simply this. It means I've got no more words to say. He's going to praise through me. And that is when you get quiet. You've been in the presence of the Lord. We've had that happen in our church where right at the end of praise and worship, everything just gets quiet. And the presence of the Lord just gets thick. And that is when he's worshiping. Why? Because we are the treasure. And God is saying, that's my kids. That's my babies. And the anointing is just flowing through. It's important that you and I learn how to praise and worship. It is a lifestyle. Say, it's a lifestyle. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually. Everybody say continually. Offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the fruit of the lips means you got to say something. It's not about lip syncing. You got to say it. You got to sing it. Well, I don't want to. It doesn't matter what you want. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you sing good or not. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you feel good or not. Amen. It doesn't matter whether everything's going good or not. Amen. It matters that he's worthy. Amen. And so you give out of the fruit of the earth. That means you got to say something. Amen. Well, you know, I'm just standing here in praise and worship. But that's not what he asked you to do. That your lips will continually praise him. You've got to voice what you're feeling inside. Some of the men have had serious problems with their marriages because they've never shared with their wife what they're feeling inside. You've got to be able to share what's going on in your heart. And God knows it anybody's, but he wants to hear it from you. Amen? It's not about leftovers. It's giving your best. Yeah, I'm chunking up. You know, setting up those chunks. So I just, at this moment, choose to swallow them and we'll go on. Yeah. We have gross out things in our family and I can make my family almost vomit. It's really fun. Now I want to remind you too that this is all about heart. There are people that sing phenomenal that have no anointing. That's the truth. There are people that are so gifted. In fact, you'll hear them two or three rows back, and they sound like an angel from heaven, but they stink like Satan from hell. Because this is not about a person's outward capability. That's why it doesn't matter how good you sing. That's why it matters your heart sings. The Bible declares that in the book of John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24, and Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Here, I love this verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father," listen to this, it's powerful, "for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship it must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is actively looking for you and I to worship him out of our heart, that we mean it. It's not just words. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'll look. In fact, it was two Sunday mornings ago, maybe three. Two or three Sunday mornings ago, first service, it was like hitting a brick wall. Now, I'm not sure if you can sense that yet, but you need to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, where they're up here and they're doing praise and worship, and it was just like hitting a brick wall. There was no breakthrough in the sanctuary. The majority of people were just singing a song. And then I got up here and I did a little encouragement. You'll notice I broke through the song. You know, I didn't have her continue. I would get up. Usually if you see me break into a song that they're doing, it's because there's a wall that's being hit. Every once in a while, what I'll have them do is break into a blood song. Because the blood song, if it's a demonic oppression, the blood song will break that power. But what I'll do is, our goal is to bring you to a place where you're actually raptured into his presence. And that comes when we stop singing out of our head and it comes out of our heart. Some people have said to me, Pastor, why do we sing the same song so many times? But that just shows you're not worshiping out of your heart. Now, sometimes they do sing too many times, and I tell them, stop, please stop. But majority of the time, it's not that. The majority of the time, it's that you're just singing a song. And the problem with just singing a song is you don't enter into the presence of the Lord. So you've got to make a decision that you're going to worship him out of your spirit and out of your heart. That you're actually giving him the fruit of your lips. You're giving him your heart at that very moment. And when you start doing that, you'll start seeing a breakthrough in your praise and worship. Now, what's really cool is the more you mature in your praise and worship, you'll find that one song gets you in. You don't need 10 songs. You don't need 20 minutes. Somebody said, well, I wish our worship was longer. Come to the worship nights. You know, we're trying to be sensitive of the guests that are walking in the door that are Catholic background that have never heard one of these songs before in their life, and they're like this anyways. You know, they got white knuckle disease. So, I mean, we're just trying to be, but as a believer, it shouldn't be a problem for you and I as we mature in our understanding of praise and worship and mature in our relationship with God, that we can step into a song, literally the very first song, we can be in spirit and be in truth. It's all a matter of our hearts saying, God, I'm going to force everything out that's in my head and I'm focusing completely upon you. And when you do that, you have your breakthrough. We all need this breakthrough. Because, man, when you're in the presence of the Lord, that's when he fills you with joy. That's when he takes those heavy burdens off your life. That's when he heals your body and heals your mind. That's when he moves in your life, is the stronger the presence of God is. And that's why the enemy works so desperately to keep, number one, people out of church. Number two, to keep you so busy that you're not praising and worshiping, that you're fighting with your wife on the way to church, your kids are screaming so loud, you're praying for mercy. And when it's time for praise and worship, you're not even focusing on Jesus at all. So it's important that we learn how to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, there is a difference between praise and worship. They're two totally different things. The church has forgotten this. The problem with that is when you don't, the majority of praise and worship songs that you hear in churches are not worship. At all. They're nice songs. They say nice things, but there's no worship to them at all. In fact, what's very interesting, you'll notice there are no water songs sung in our church. Did you ever notice that? There are no songs about water sung in our church. Why? Because I hate them. And I said, there'll never be another water song in this church. And they said, but Pastor, why? I said, because you're singing them as they're a worship song. You're singing about water. But the water represents the Holy Spirit. Then say Holy Spirit. Somebody said to me, but Pastor, you know, we're singing all these great worship songs. They're the most contemporary songs. I said, not one of them says the name of Jesus. Do you know there's a worship, extremely popular worship group that probably most of you, if I said their name, you would all know it. They only have one song that says the name of Jesus. One. The church has gotten away from true praise and gotten away from true worship. We sing nice songs and they move us emotionally. But I don't need to be moved emotionally. I need to be moved spiritually. And the greatest, most popular topic of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. When you start singing about Jesus, guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit. When the more you sing about the presence of the Lord, the more you start worshiping, guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit. So when the church does their thing, their nice little songs, if they're not worshiping, if there's no Jesus, it's all about water. Nothing happens. And that's why it becomes a nice little chorus, but it doesn't become intimate with God. Here we go. Praise. Praise, they're not the same. What is praise? Praise is thanking him for what he has done. That's very important. Praise is thanking him for what he has done. What has he done? Give me some things he's done in your life. Yes. Strokes. He got healed of strokes. Blindness. That's right. Not being able to speak. Amen. What else? Yes. Took away smoking. Something to praise him for. Come on. Addictions. Amen. Yes. Grace and mercy. Finances. Well, they sang it. It was two. Yeah, go. Conquered fears. Yes. Growth. Come on. Yes. Answer. What's that? Amen. Healed from injuries. All that's praise. All of that is something he has done for you. Praise is the very beginning. Remember, yada tauda. Praise, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise. Very good. Praise is when you and I start thanking him for what he has done. Listen, when you and I start doing that, we take our eyes off of this and we take our eyes up to here. It changes your vision. Praise is powerful because it changes your sphere of view. Whenever you're discouraged, what should you do? The very first thing, start to praise. Because how many of you got a pillow? How many of you got a pair of shoes? How many of you got a toothbrush? Anybody said amen? How many of you got a car? How many of you drove here? How many of you have gasoline for your car? Let's be honest, man. We are very rich. Well, I feel very poor. Well, Don't go to another country. Because no matter what, you are filthy rich in any other country. And you will find that we all have more than enough to thank him for. Amen? And when you start to thank him, something starts to stir in your spirit. Because now you're starting to recognize that God is for you and not against you. Not the, woe is me, for I am undone. I am sad. Well, if you only knew the troubles I'm going through. Well, you know. The moment you start doing that, and you know, I have people that I've had to do a lot of counseling with that have struggled with depression. And the first thing I teach them is you need to be a person of praise more than ever before. Because you cannot go into depression when you're praising. You can never be depressed if you're praising. It's not possible. Why? Well, because you're not looking at the bad, you're looking at the good. You're looking at what he's done for you. You're giving thanksgiving. That's give praise to God through songs, hymns, spiritual songs. And then the word praise is tehillah, which means a song of praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Understanding that when you're going to praise him, you literally are coming into his presence and thanking him for all he has done. Some of you need to start seeing this. You need to actually see the very tabernacle of God, and that when you start to praise, Remember, we have the right to come into the throne of God boldly, the book of Hebrews. Because of the blood of Jesus, when we start to praise, we're literally stepping into the very throne room of God and looking at our Father and saying, Father, thank you that tonight we have the right to be saved through Jesus. Thank you that tonight, Lord, your presence is in this place. Thank you, God, that tonight you love us. Lord, because let's be honest, sometimes I don't even love myself. God, I thank you that tonight, Lord, you are merciful. That, God, I should have been dead a long time ago, but God has touched my life. Father, I want to thank you that tonight you sent the Holy Spirit, and I'm possessed by God himself in my inner man. I thank you that tonight I've got hope, and I've got dreams, and I've got purpose, and I've got destiny. Lord, I thank you that tonight, if I take my last breath, I know I'll see you face to face. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? When you start to do that, all of a sudden, everything starts to change because you're in his presence. Man, God loves to be praised. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. Praise him for our families. We praise him for our jobs. Man, we praise him because he's what he has done in our life, we could not have done it ourselves. And that's the awesome part about serving God, is we got a lot to praise him for. You know, when I get up in the morning and I start my time of praise and my time of prayer, and remember when we covered prayer last week, was it last week? 2 weeks ago when we covered prayer the last time, whatever that was. I think that was last week. We covered it. One of them was on praise and worship. That's a style of prayer. Whenever I go to my prayer time, that's the very first thing I do. I just start thanking him. God, I thank you that today I can walk. God, I thank you that today I have a voice to declare your goodness. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, I have hands that I can raise and worship you with. God, I thank you that today I'm in a house that's warm. God, I thank you that today, Lord, that I have the blood of Jesus covering all of my sins. Jesus, I thank you that today I have a family. God, I thank you for my wife, and I thank you for my children, and I thank you for my grandchildren. God, I thank you that today, Lord, you have given me the right to work in your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that today, and we just let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When you start to do that, your whole morning shifts. It shifts. How does it shift? Why does it shift? It shifts because you're no longer looking here, you're looking here. Perspective is everything. When you learn how to praise and worship, man, all of a sudden the joy of God can just overtake your life. But if you don't praise and worship, if you don't make this a lifestyle, then what's going to happen is you're going to whine a lot. And let me encourage you about your whining. It accomplishes nothing. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't fix anything. So why do we do it? Whine is the opposite of praise. What we're doing, careful now. What we do when we whine, we're actually saying, God, you are unfaithful. God, I come into your presence and Lord, I just want you to know that you are untimely, that God, you are not merciful, that God, you are not powerful, that God, you are not great. Lord, you can't fix a thing in my life. You're no good to me except that I can go to heaven. So I just wanted to let you know that today. That's what whining is. Because you're telling God he's unable. And whether you like it or not, that is spirit, just not truth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The thing about learning how to live a lifestyle of praise and worship is that you learn that you don't praise him because everything is going good. You praise him in the darkest moments because it's that which switches it to the greatest moments. Praise shifts. It's a spiritual activity. It's not a natural thing. It's not about singing. It's about you're activating the spirit world. He says that he loves to be in the presence of those who worship him. So the moment you start to praise him, he inhabits the praises of his people. You've invited God into your situation, and now the supernatural is able to start shifting your situation in your life. The people that whine and complain, this is what they do. They actually diffuse faith. You ever been around somebody that's all they do is complain? Well, you know, if everyone just knew how bad it was in my life. Well, you know, not one of us in this room has ever had it as bad as a man named, an evangelist I had met in Bible school named Michael. Michael, in Zimbabwe, as a missionary, was grabbed. He was English. And he was snatched as he was going about preaching the gospel in Zimbabwe. They took him. And you got to recognize, when you're in these other countries, you can disappear really easy and no one ever knows where you've gone. They snatched him and they dug a pit 15 to 20 feet deep. Big enough so that he could literally do a circle like this, he said. In there, he peed, he pooped, and they threw his food down from the top. 2 years. Now, when I saw him at Bible school, we thought he was crazy. Because during praise and worship, this is what he was doing. Thought he was nuts. Till you hear his story. He's got a reason to shout. He's got a reason to praise. He learned his praise not in a church service. He learned his praise in a hole for 2 years. And because of that, when he got out, it was his lifestyle. Praising on that day was normal to him. And to us, it was like, Jesus, bring balance. He was balanced because it was all about him and Jesus. Some of us are so reserved, except when you were not serving Jesus. And some of you have gone too far into your shell, and you've got to be willing to show that you love God. Not as a show to people, but man, when was the last time you just completely worshiped God without worrying about what anybody was going to say or think? When you do that, there's a freedom that you can't get any other way. It's just a total freedom in Christ. You see, when you've learned and when you do learn how to praise him through the hard times, you activate the supernatural to change your life. We see this in the book of Acts chapter 16, 25 and 26. Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel. They told them to stop. They beat the snot out of them with rods. And they took them down to the lowest prison, the lowest part of the prison. Now, they weren't just in the lowest part of the prison. I just really want you to see this, that they didn't have concrete like we have concrete. So it's mud, it's poop, it's pee, it's rats running around, and their hands are in locks, their feet are in stocks. They're not able to get up and just go, hey, dude, how are you? Got a cigarette? You know, they got none of that stuff. Hey, you know, I think we deserve HBO. They're in the bottom of the bottom. The bottom of the bottom. And this is what they could have done. Where's God? Yo, where are you? We're here because of you, and you're not doing anything to change our situation? You didn't deliver us before we got put and beat down? Can you imagine being beat by rods? My mother always missed my butt. She'd hit the back of your legs. Jesus, help us all. You know, you can hit my butt all you want, but man, the back of the leg is sensitive. Can you imagine literally being taken with rods and being beaten until you were bloody? Now, if you've cut yourself, you know what that feels like. Cut yourself and don't tend it. Just let it sit there and seethe. Their whole back was mush. You know it bruises the ribs. And so here they are, man. They're down there. They could have been just nasty with God, but they learned something. It's a lifestyle. This is what they learned. Ready? They said this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. It didn't matter how they sang good or bad. It doesn't say they sang like the angels. Praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You see, everybody's watching you, not when everything's going good. They're watching you when it's going bad. Yes. Real loud. Yes.
So to kind of tap into that praise, you need to bring forth everything that God brought you through.
Exactly.
You need to remind yourself, just as you were in the world, you want to be 10 times more of that just going outwardly. So that's why a lot of times I feel like, you know, expressing that to other people, it'll keep you in that daily.
And it does. And here are these guys, man. They had every reason to cuss and to swear at God. Where are you? Bad timing. Why aren't you here yet? I always love when people say that to me because I automatically know they're not a praiser. It's not a lifestyle to them yet. When you make this a lifestyle, you never know what's in an orange until it's squeezed. You see, you don't know what's in you until it's squeezed. But you don't wait till it's squeezed to make sure that you have everything in order. See, when you make praise and worship a lifestyle, when trouble troubles you, the Bible says don't find it strange when the fiery trial comes upon you as some strange thing has happened. You're going to have fiery trials. Fiery means they're not comfortable. They're coming. It's part of our life. But the issue is, when the fiery trial comes, what comes out of you? That's the key. If you're a worshiper, you're a praiser, then when it comes out, it's going to be just like Paul and Silas. The lowest part of the prison. Their backs beaten. They're in stocks. Rats are running over them. You can smell the human feces. You can smell the human urine. And man, they're in the lowest portion. And instead of complaining, they start to praise him. They start to sing songs and hymns. They start to declare how good God is. And the Bible says, suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. See, when you learn how to praise in the hard times, that's when you see the miracles happen. Those miracles blow the doors open when you learn how to praise when hell is starting to lick your toes. The verse that teaches us to praise is Psalms 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. Psalms 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Now, there's personal praise as a lifestyle and public praise as a lifestyle. Personal praise should be normal to you in the aspect of like when you're starting your time of prayer or when you're in your car. You know, some of you really need to turn off your radio. Some of you are listening to country music. Now listen, you know, I'm not against all country stuff. You know, there's some good country music out there. There's some good Christian country music out there. But, you know, well, I slept with my grandma last night. And well, I was drunk on the side of the road. It's like, come on now. Why, if you think you're listening to that and it's, well, I'm not affected by the words, I just like the tone. Really, I bet you can sing it. Because you're soaking it in. It's true, it's powerful. You need to know this is real and that you need to pay attention. Listen, some of you need to turn off FLN. That's not even that. Some of you, you're listening to more teaching and you're not praising. By the way, that's Calvinist. It's a Calvinist station. You know, their music is great, but praise and worship with it. You know, some of you listen to the most foolish things in your life, and you're actually stealing from yourself the opportunity to step into a life of praise. Personal praise should be normal. Like I said today, I was just enjoying myself. And like I said, I don't care what anybody says. So, you know, we're setting up the room for the Empowering Pastors Leadership Training. And I'm just walking around singing a song. The Bible calls it a new song. It's found in the book of Psalms. A new song. What's a new song? It's just something that's just being birthed out of your spirit. You're just singing out of your heart. And I'm just walking around singing, trying to rhyme things. I'm not really a good rhymer either. So I'm trying to rhyme things, and I'm just singing to Jesus and having a great time, singing in tongues. I'm walking around the hallway singing in tongues and having a great time. That's personal praise. And, you know, that should be normal to you. I have an uncle that when he came to visit, I mean, my first inkling of him was he was a nut. Because every time I was around him, he's singing praise songs. But now I get it. This is your lifestyle. This is who you are. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit. You need to ask the Holy... That was when my uncle was saying. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now. Yeah. So, no. He did sing all the time, though. So I just want to encourage you, make this a lifestyle. The second is public praise. When we come together in church, you don't stand there with your hands down by your side, well, that's just the way I do it. No, that's not true. It's really not true. You've lied to yourself. Well, I'm just not an outward person. That's not true either. It's not. And I've given this example multiple times. If you can't swim, and I put you in a rowboat, and I row you out to the middle of a pond, and I throw you out, I doubt you're going to be going, help me. Please, somebody help me. Help! You're going to be flaring your arms and screaming, help me, I'm drowning. Don't tell me you're reserved. You choose to be reserved. Now, I'm not talking drawing attention to yourself. How do you know when somebody's not in God? Is the attention being drawn away from Jesus to them? You know, that's not what we're talking about. In public worship, you know, what happens is when you start to really get into the presence of the Lord, something's going to happen. It might be this. You'll see my wife, she kneels most of the time. But there's an outward expression of what's happening in your heart. And we need to be able to express publicly what we're feeling inside. You know, I was watching the other day, it was during the Empowering Pastors Conference. And you blessed me, Rich, that day. You don't even know, but you blessed me. He was standing over there at one of the tables, and during the praise and worship, I looked over, and there's Rich like this. Just worshiping God. I was like, go on now. It was good. And it changes you. When you choose to publicly worship God, it does something in you because it's not you anymore. It's the conglomeration. It's the whole body together. One shall put a thousand to flight. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. Exodus chapter 15, 1 and 2. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Ezra chapter 3, 10 and 11. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with the trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph and with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to God, for he is good and for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and then they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Isn't that awesome? Psalms 22, 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. We don't even need to read the last one. So corporate praise and worship is a normal part of your life. This is why, you know, the devil works so hard to keep you out of here. He's working hard to keep you out of church. He's working hard to keep you out of the presence of God. Because corporate worship is a major part of your relationship with him. It's not just your private, but it's your corporate. You've got to make decision that this is the priority. Okay, let's get into worship. Worship is different. So praise is thanking him for what he's done. Worship is not for what he's done, but who he is. Now watch, I'm going to mess you up forever. You ready? Forever, yet more now than ever before. Listen to the songs we sing. We call worship slower songs. That's not slower. That's not worship. Just because we sing slower doesn't mean it's actually worship. I want you to pay attention. When we're singing a song that we call worship, is it singing to ourselves to encourage ourselves to worship? Or are we actually singing worship to him? No, listen. Most of the songs the American churches sing today are not worship. They're songs encouraging you to worship, but they're not singing anything to him. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I've been shifting this in our church because there's nothing that bothers me more than singing to encourage you to sing worship, but then never doing worship. And it makes a huge difference. I love the Holy Spirit song. What's that new one they sing now? Someone help me with that one. What's that new song that we sing on the Holy Spirit? No, that's the old one. I know, that's the old one, though. What's that? Oh, man, I wish I knew music. What's that? Yeah, I can't sing a lyric. I don't know if I can say a lyric. Holy Spirit, yeah, you are welcome here. Come flood, place and fill the atmosphere. Is that worship? Is that worship? Think about it. Is that worship? It's an invitation. Is it worship? It's not worship. It's singing to him that we should be worshiping, but we're never saying anything to him that is worship. I love that song. But the point is, it's still not worship. It's going to be very interesting for you. Like I said, I'm going to mess you up. When you start listening to songs, and all of a sudden you're going to go, but we did a whole worship set with not one worship song. Exactly. It's all about worship is declaring who he is, not what he has done. Yes. Correct. Yes, because it's declaring who he is. The Waymaker song. That's worship. See, again, we equate worship with slow songs. Worship has nothing to do with slow songs. It has to do with the principle. Praise is thank you for what he's done. Worship is thank him for who he is. What is it? You're as bad as I am. You don't know what song you're doing yet. You know, there's an old song called I Love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet in your ear. Is that worship or not? You're singing, I love you. You're singing to him. So it's really important that we learn how to worship because worship is totally different. And many worship songs are not worship songs at all. And this is what I'm striving to do to make sure that our church actually does worship him. Now, what you'll find is when the church steps into worship, the anointing increases immediately. Yeah, the anointing up here is much stronger than the anointing back there. Just encourage everybody. Listen now, that's just a fact. The anointing up here is stronger than back there. Yeah, it's the truth, though. Big difference. So I want to encourage you that you need to learn how to worship, and you should pay attention to worship. Now, worship, which is really cool, focuses on He is our Creator. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Provider. He is the Healer. He is the Protector. He is our Peace. He is our Shepherd and our Guide. He is our Righteousness. He is our Faithful King. He is our Salvation. He is our Deliverer. He is our Friend. He is our Daddy. He is Love. He is the I Am that I Am. That is who He is. So when you start worshiping, you're actually focusing on all about Him and not about you. There's no encouragement, you should worship. It's all about, listen now, Dad, it's all about you. I'm in your presence. I'm in your presence. Thank you. Thank you that you are my Savior. Not that you saved me, but you are the Savior. You are the blood. Jesus, thank you that you love because you are love. And when you start to worship, man, the anointing just will start to gush. I love that word, gush. Okay, now there are positions and manifestations of praise and worship. There's always been a requirement for outward expression. Husbands and wives hold hands. Husbands and wives kiss. Husbands and wives have sex. Why do they have sex? Well, I just want to have a baby. No. If that was true, you wouldn't be on birth control and getting snipped. You know what I mean? You're expressing your love. Love needs to be expressed. And God needs to He expresses His love to you. That's called the presence of God, the anointing. But you and I need to express our love to Him. And that comes through different, even positional. You know, our heart is the number one. But number two, you'll find that musical instruments are used to show our love for God. Psalms 150. I got to look at how much time I got left. Oh, we're good. We're good. We're good. Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent goodness. There's a song, by the way. I love this song. I can't do it, but I love this song. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and a harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and a dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I remember once I was in a worship service, man, and I looked at the drummer, and I could just sense the anointing all over the drummer. I said, hit it. Boom. That drummer just went into a drum solo. And every time that drummer hit that snare, the anointing went, whoosh, just went out and just started touching people. People being healed. Every time she hit that snare, people being healed. Why? Because there's an anointing in the music. When the music is being used for praise and worship, it is one of the most powerful things. You want to know why it's so powerful? Lucifer knows it's powerful because he was worship as the archangel. Now, he wasn't the angel over worship. When you study the physical attributes, how he looked, what God created him as, when Lucifer moved, he made music. His very motion made praise and worship in heaven. His body created praise and worship. And that's why you'll find there's such a onslaught against praise and worship, because Satan knows, because he was in the presence of God, creating worship for God, he knows what that accomplishes, and he knows how powerful that is. That's why he works desperately to get you not to be in praise and worship, and desperately not to get you to enter into corporate worship, because he knows what it does. This is why Satan... knows the power of music. He knows the power of music. In fact, in the 1980s, there was a rock and roll singer, and he made this statement. This was his statement. We are the prophets for the next generation. What we prophesy through our music, this generation will be captivated and do. Really? Well, think about it. How about the new music? They're dropping F-bombs all over the place. The sexual promiscuity on the music is like over the top. I remember one time I went up into Chad's room, and this was many years ago, Pastor Chad's room, and it was before he was Pastor Chad, and he's laying on his bed. He has headphones in. He's sleeping. And so I pulled out the headphone, put it in my ear. I went, whoa. Because the song was about a woman giving a man a blowjob. I'm talking like in details. And I'm going, that should not be in his ears. Because whether you like it or not, you can actually move a whole generation with the power of music. Satan knows this because this is what he did. This is how he lives. And this is one of the greatest tools that he uses is music. Because he knows how it works. Music has a great, powerful process, not only with words, but also music is powerful. In one study, they took a raw egg and put it at a rock concert, put it in front of a speaker. And it moves, it is so powerful that it actually hard-boiled the egg by the end of the rock concert. Music is powerful. It's moving. That's why people, when they're depressed, they'll listen to the blues. People get depressed listening to the blues. There's music that will turn and makes kids violent because it's music made for that. So understand, music is very, very, very powerful. Be careful, oh little ears, what you hear. Can I hear an amen? Singing aloud, Psalms 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. So we want you to sing out loud. Sing out loud. Amen. Amen. Raising your hands. You know, the best way I always describe this one is if you're walking down the street and someone walked up and said, stick them up, give me all your money. What's that show? Surrender. When you see people raising their hands in church, it's not, boy, did I put it on this morning or not? Raising your hands in church is simply saying an outward expression of your inward belief, I surrender. And you need to show outwardly what you're doing inside. It enhances your faith level. Faith without works is dead. So during praise and worship, when you lift up your hands, it's not just lifting up your hands, it's faith in action as you're worshiping him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Psalm 63, 3 and 4, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you where I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So lifting up hands is very biblical. The other one is shouting. Make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Clapping your hands. My favorite was a gentleman in my last church. His name was Lloyd. Lloyd wasn't white. Lloyd was opaque. He was whiter than white. And when it came time to clap, this is Lloyd. I'm not even exaggerating. It was painful watching Lloyd clap. It was absolutely dreadful. And he was never on. Just was horrible. But clapping your hands, you'll see Mackenzie trying to help you. Clapping your hands is biblical. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Dancing is biblical. What? What, Jesus? dancing. My favorite one from old time church. Well, you know, you need to dance in the spirit, not in the flesh. Well, last I knew, pinch someone next to you, you still have flesh. So no matter what, everything starts off in the flesh. Amen. So dancing in the spirit is very much dancing in the flesh. You got to dance in your flesh. You know, I love watching Josh Torres. He's a break dancer. I love watching him praise and worship. I love watching him dance up at the front of the altar. He's actually more intimidated now. Now he's Latino and he's intimidated. I know he's intimidated to dance in church. I'm saddened for that. You know, it's maybe people have said something to him or they always stare at him or because, you know, we don't see a lot. You just need to know that it's okay if you want to dance before the Lord. It's okay if you want to dance before the Lord. No, really, it's okay if you want to dance before God. No, really, seriously. I mean, some of you, like I said, some of you when you were drunk, you were the dumbest dancer anybody ever seen, but you did not care. Some of you need to get so drunk in the spirit that you don't care how you dance before God. David did this. The Bible says when the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God came back to Jerusalem, David brought it back. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 6, 14 and 15, then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark up to the Lord, was shouting with the sound of the trumpet. So David stripped down to his spiritual underoos and literally danced down the center of Jerusalem because the presence of the Lord came home. You got to be willing sometimes, man, just to praise him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Some of you have never let go. Now let me tell you. Now, I was never allowed to dance as a child. I was taught little dance, a little hell, little dance, a little hell. There was never dancing in our church. Nothing like that at all. In fact, I remember going to a dance in the sixth grade, and my father came to the dance and pulled me out by my ear. Threw me in the car, said, "Don't you ever do that again." I'm not even exaggerating. This is the truth. And so all of that happened. And I remember getting to Bible school. And I remember this kid dancing down the aisle of Bible school my very first day. And I went, oh my God. What is happening in this place? Jesus, what did I get myself into? He's dancing all over the place and I'm just looking at him. Oh my God. My dad taught me a little dance, a little hill. And I remember a buddy of mine coming up, and he was strongly anointed. His name is Steve Lee. And he came up, and he gave me a hug. That's all I remember. I took off dancing all over that church. People said, "Spencer, man, you should see how you dance." I said, "I didn't see nothing, man. I was out." I danced all over that church. I remember probably about 3 years ago, I was here, and we were singing a song, and man, I hit a note, and it was over. That's all I remember. I danced right over here, right in this church, right here, dancing all over the place. And you know what? I don't really care what people say. I'll be a fool for Jesus any day. When the dance hits my feet, baby, you know it's Jesus, by the way. When the dance hits my feet, I don't care how I look. I don't care what people say because I'm not dancing before anybody. I'm dancing before Jesus. And man, when you dance before God, there's a liberty and a freedom that nobody else who's ever not done it has ever experienced. It's a liberty. Amen? Amen. Psalms 154, praise him with the timbrel and with the dance. A new song is when you just sing a song. And then the cloud of glory. Now, this is one of the most powerful things, and I'll end with this, of course. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 13 and 14. Indeed, it has come to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God that they lifted up their voice and with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now let me explain what this is. There's the anointing, and then there's the glory. The anointing is when you feel the presence of God, almost like a coat. You can just sense him come on you. But there's something beyond that, and that's called the glory. Now, we've had the glory here before. I remember one time the glory cloud was so thick back in that corner. There were five men, Bob Burbank being one of them. He actually had to go see if he could physically feel it, and he stepped into the cloud while the other men were watching. The presence of God was so thick. I've been in sanctuaries where literally it looks like a fog goes across the entire sanctuary, and there's not a sound being said. The thickness of the glory of God. You see, when the church comes to this place where we corporately worship him in spirit and in truth, and you bring that place to where it takes you past the anointing and into the glory of God, it means that God's presence has actually come, God himself, come into the room. Not the Holy Spirit himself, but God himself comes into the room. And you can literally see the cloud of glory. It is powerful. I've seen it many times. I haven't seen it for a long time here. But the only way that happens is not by the preacher. I can fast and pray all I want. But until the people enter into praise and worship, if you read that verse there, it said that they were as one. They were as one in that portion of praise and worship with the anointing. I think one of the last times it was really seen strongly is when they were doing some Saturday night services here. And Pastor Dan, it was the night Pastor Dan was doing it. And they went into a time of praise and worship that was so thick, they didn't get out of here until I think it was 11 or 12 o'clock at night. The anointing, were you here that night? The glory of God was just so thick in this place. People had a hard time standing on their feet. People were drunk in the Spirit. People were going out in the Spirit all over the place, sometimes two and three times. The presence of God was just so powerful. I've been in services. In fact, we had it happen here one not too long ago where a woman was standing right over here and the glory of God hit over in this corner and she went out in the Spirit. Just poof, no one touched her, no one near her. One time the glory of God was so thick in our church, there was a person in the far back row, went out in the Spirit. No one was around them and they said that the anointing was just so powerful and thick. I want more of Jesus. And the way to get more of Jesus is to be more in praise and worship through lifestyle. And when we come to the house of God, purge everything from your head, everything from your thoughts, all your troubles and all your situations, and just focus on Jesus. And when you do that, the glory of God will come. And when he comes, oh my goodness, that is when it really gets good. Those are the services that you walk away from and you say, I will never be the same again. And I've been in many of them, where I've never been the same again because I've been in his actual, physical, tangible glory. It is awesome. And I challenge you to start stepping into that even this Sunday. This Sunday, just crowd to the front. Well, I don't like to be near the front. I'd rather sit in the back. I don't care where you'd rather sit. If you want a stronger presence of the Lord, get to the front. And then maybe one of these days I'm going to change the whole sanctuary around just for the fun of it. I've done it so many different times. And maybe I'll just do it this Sunday. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in the mood to do that recently. You know, change the whole sanctuary all over the place. But, you know, there's a time when you've got to get out of your comfort zone and you've got to step into the presence of the Lord like you've never done before. And when you do that, you will not be disappointed because you can never be disappointed in the glory of God. You just stand in awe. I've been in services where literally for an hour or two, you don't move, you don't hear a sound, you don't hear a peep, except God speaking to you inside. And when you leave that place, it is like you're floating. The glory of God is so thick. So I want to encourage you. Some of you have never experienced that. That doesn't happen on accident. That happens through lifestyle and through worshiping in spirit and in truth. And if we want that to increase in our house right here, that does not come from the preacher. That comes from all of us saying, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. Everything else pales in thought and in desire to you. I choose to give you the sacrifice of praise, not what I got left over, my very best. And when you do that, everything will change here. Those are the times when the services, I don't end up preaching. You know, well, I don't have to because he's doing it inside you. And those are the great times. Questions? Was it a good class?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes you talk about how it's so strong. Like, I feel it strong. And singing. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to sing.
Absolutely. If you've never been drunk in the Spirit, man, that's a really cool experience. That's when the presence of God is on you so strong that it has the same manifestation as if you were drunk with alcohol. It's really neat. I've seen it many, 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 many times. I've been drunk in the Spirit probably twice. I tried to stand up. That's not an option. Not an option. All right, praise the Lord. So let's stand. Father, we thank you that you have given us the right to praise and to worship you. Lord, we pray that we will step into a new level with you, Lord, by learning these principles. And that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, God, you will take us to the glory. Lord, that many of us in this room, Lord, can experience your glory in our own home, in our own car. God, no matter where we are, because as we step into that praise and worship, God, we can foster your presence and, Lord, give you the opportunity through atmosphere to change us from the inside out by your presence and by your glory. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name as the church that you take us to another level. Lord, there's nothing better than getting you. So in Jesus' name, we ask that you'll draw us to that place. Only you can, and we need you to do it because we want more of you. Lord, the only way we change is the more we're in your presence. So we ask that you do this in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.